Welcome to the Luxury Home Insider podcast. Today, we are honored to welcome Lee Harper to the show. Lee has been working in the real estate industry since 2006. Initially, Lee worked for a variety of brands, including Ray White, Yong, and One Agency. And since 2018, Lee has been training and supporting real estate agents with everything from their marketing, doing appraisals, maintaining relationships with their clients. And while supporting agents with their marketing, Lee learned that SEO was a big problem in promoting real estate businesses and subsequently started helping agents create websites to generate more leads. And most recently, Lee has moved back to his hometown and is now leading the local property team brand in the Fraser Coast region. Lee, welcome to the show, mate.
Good morning, Brendan. Brendan, thanks very much for having me on the show today.
No, you're welcome, mate. You're welcome. And I guess one of the reasons why I was really curious to get you onto the show is obviously you've started out in the big city, been there for a long time, doing training, consulting, and all those sorts of things. Now you're back on the tools, but moved back to your country town, to rural area where you grew up. Why did you make the move, mate?
One word, traffic. I just didn't really like the traffic and the city traffic and the lifestyle. And as Andrew Tate says, escaping the matrix, it was just getting too much for me. And I think I had something cried out. I want to get back to peace and quiet. I really missed where I grew up, and there's a lot of people that I grew up with around yep. here as well. So I just felt really connected to where I'm at. So that's the main reason, just having a peaceful lifestyle that I can enjoy and just chill out pretty much. And then I can still, nerded out in the Mac and learn all different things on the Mac, and now I can apply the sales to the local property team.
Awesome. And I think, you know, interestingly, I think thousands and thousands, maybe tens or even hundreds of thousands of people over the last few years since COVID have decided to reconnect back to their roots. And I think that's been a big driver in the property markets in these rural areas. So interestingly, while that migration back to these areas has happened, even as an agent, you've been drawn to make that same change by the sounds of it.
Absolutely, Brendan, yes. And especially with technology, you could be anywhere, like on top of Ayers Rock, and you can still learn, and you can still communicate with people. So relationships haven't been affected at all. If anything, I've got strong relationships with the friends that I had in Brisbane and the friends that I have up here. So technology utilized in the right way, you can actually have good relationships for business and friendships, etc. So it's just combining all those things. When you live out in the country, you can have a peaceful life, and you can still have all the – it's just a different world from the 1980s when we had two channels out here in the newspaper. So it's just a completely different world now. You can be sure. pretty savvy and established and still live where everyone in Australia. But I just particularly love the country. I think it's pretty good for the soul, I guess, you know. And I still like to get back to Brisbane occasionally to see the family, watch a game of rugby league at Lang Park, etc. So I still enjoy going back to Brisbane. I don't like the traffic, but now the cities still have a lot of good things. But I guess I just prefer it more in the country. As yeah. I'm getting older, and it's all the people.
How does
meditative?
I bet. Sounds wonderful, mate. And how does the market differ from the city, capital city of Queensland, Brisbane region, compared to a rural area like Fraser Coast? How does the market differ?
I think in Brisbane and West Brisbane, it's probably a lot more faster paced, but the mm-hmm. pace is still fairly, it's still a fairly quick pace in the Fraser Coast area, but it just seems to be a bit more, everything flows a bit more faster, I guess, in the Brisbane area. I guess probably a lot more people, so mm-hmm. a lot more turnover as well. So that's probably the only difference. And I guess I do see some differences in the marketing, I guess, from Brisbane, from where I was trained in and what I trained agents to do, as opposed to up here. I just noticed a few differences, and I thought, initially, I was just going to stick with the marketing, but then I thought, well, the only way to really implement my marketing strategy is to actually get back into sales again. And that's when I made the phone call to you late last year.
Yeah, right. And what about the property style? So since we've been working together, I've noticed, you know, rural area, there's more acreage homes, they're different. I suppose the blocks are bigger and they're sort of more further apart. And how have you noticed that in terms of the change in the product knowledge, like because of the different styles of properties?
No, you're right. There's a lot of rural terminology that I've had to learn as well. And there's some that I knew when I was younger, but it's just a whole lot of different. Rural is it's like anything. You adapt to your environment, and it's just you have to learn what all the rural legalities are when you're selling the rural properties. So that's probably the one difference. In the cities, I guess you're selling units, houses on 400, 600 square meter blocks. So that's pretty much your bread and butter. But I guess the differences are that there's so many, they differentiate, I guess. There's so many different, like there's a lot of different varieties as well in the rural. So it's, that's probably the best way I can explain it there, Brennan. There's so many differences here that you've got to be aware of.
It's so interesting when you say about terminologies. I found that too when I've sort of worked with acreage and rural properties, because you've got pumps and you've got dams and you've got, you know, different plant species and you've got different fruit trees and you know, you've got sealed roads, unsealed roads. You've got different access things to take into consideration. You've got the way that the water flows across the land. You've got dams. You just got all this extra stuff. If you're selling an apartment that is 86 square meters, two beds, one bath, one car space, it's quite simple in terms of a product when you're comparing it against a 150 acre property that has paddocks and sheds and the main homestead, plus it might have, you know, like a worker's cottage and all these other structures and buildings and things that are on the property as well. So have you found that you have to take a different approach as an agent when you're working with these rural properties to get a good understanding of what that property has to offer?
It's normally just a discussion with the landowner, and they'll normally tell you themselves what the positives are, what the negatives are of the land. And I guess all the locals, they know each other's land like back to front, because you can speak to somebody and they can say, yeah, this land is it's such and such a way, or there's, you know, it's cleared or it's not cleared. So there's all these subtle differences, even in the soil. We've got different areas up here where there's good growing soil and somewhere it's not good growing soil. So they've got beef cattle on those ones.
True.
So there's just all the, and if the land's undulated as well. So there's just so many differences. And then when you go to market it and sell it, you just got to point out those subtle differences in your marketing and appeal to people that would be after that one. We've got some, definitely got a lot of beef farmers in the area. We've got people that are just up the road from me, and they've got, they're selling mangoes. They sell a whole lot of fruit up there. Their land's all cleared. So it's a lot different to like beef cattle country. So that's your differences there. You just got to work on the positives and negatives of each one. But it's all, I think it all intertwines fairly well up here in the country area.
Yeah, great. And I suppose also, as we started off the show talking about this migration back to these rural areas, I think, you know, city slickers like me are becoming more attracted to the rural lifestyle and what you explained about that peace and tranquility and quiet. And so I'd imagine there's some kind of element as an agent to educate us city slickers on, you know, the differences between one property. Because you might see, and I've noticed this, where one property's 100 acres, another one's 100 acres, but a completely vastly different price. And as you mentioned, some of those factors are, one of them's kind of, you know, swampy and heaps of trees. The other one's cleared with beautiful paddocks and sheds. So the price point's completely different. So how do you communicate that to us city slickers so we really understand the value of a property?
Yeah, you probably put everything in the right up there, Brennan, and you do a video on it. And you let everybody know those differences. But in this day and age, with everybody that has Google and they're researching, you can find people, they've been up here for a year or two, and they've got themselves fairly well educated. So a lot of the buyers, before they even go to buy, they're fairly well educated of what they want to buy.
Right.
So that's the other thing as well. But it's obviously important to, like you said, it's important to point those differences out to make sure that you have those differences there. And you let them know the reason why a property is probably $200,000 or $300,000 more than another one. Admittedly, they could be the same size, but yeah, the reason why it could be better for beef cattle, could be better for growing, etc.
And I guess that also plays into what I talked about in the intro, where you said SEO plays a big part in real estate businesses, not only in the city area, but it sounds like also in the rural area as well, because like you said, those buyers are doing that research for maybe up to a year before they're making that purchasing decision. So they're going online, presumably, and they're watching YouTube videos, they're reading websites, they're kind of learning about the area, the pros and cons of different micro markets within the broader market. So what are some things that you're doing and planning on doing with local property team in terms of your SEO and your marketing to educate, perhaps, as we said, buyers that are doing some research about the marketplace there?
I'm speaking to different businesses, currently speaking to a lawyer and a finance broker. He's a mobile one from Brisbane, and I speak to one in Maribyrnong, but I want to educate the people, like even speaking to like farmers and tradespeople in the Maribyrnong area or Biggerton area. I want to speak to those people and get their point across, so they can actually put out their ideas and let the buyers know when they buy up here, this is what they can do with the land, this is the advantages and disadvantages of it. That's pretty much what I want to do. I want to educate everybody that goes to the website or to the Facebook page. I want to get those buyers and sellers, I want to get them educated, so by the time they've seen me, they've already known the answers, so they know who I am, they know who the local property team Fraser Coast are. So ideally, I want to get something where all the questions are answered before they even pick up that phone to call me. They've pretty much got all the questions answered. That's my number one goal. There's a lot of work involved to get there. I'm at the initial stages, but I'm very, very determined to get there in the next few months, you know, or possibly by the next 6 to 9 months, or by the end of the year. But it'll be a big job, of course. But I think education is paramount for these people, because I get so many phone calls just from friends. One was buying real estate, one was selling real estate. They phoned me last week. I said, that sounds like a great idea for a video. And I said that about half a dozen times. And I said to myself, why aren't these questions and answers? We've got them on our website, on our main website. We've already got them on there, quite a lot of content. But I was just thinking, how come it's just not out there, like all these questions and answers that buyers and sellers have? And I've had, I think it was from 3 or 4 different people just over the Christmas period. I was thinking, there's got to be something to change the concept of that. So I'm pretty determined to do that. That's my future plans.
I think it's a good move, Lee. I think just thinking about and considering what types of questions your buyers and sellers might have, and being presumptive enough to answer those through the marketing that you're undertaking. So it becomes marketing. It's engaging and important information that becomes marketing. The byproduct is it becomes marketing, because it creates awareness to yourself as an agent and to your business. So I think it's a really important point that you make. All these common questions and these common problems that buyers and sellers have, we really need to be focused around answering those and addressing them through content. And because, as you said, they're searching for a year before they make a decision. And that's buyers, but also sellers too. Sellers, when they, decide to sell, they think, oh, geez, next year and, end of 2024, we better make a move back to Brisbane from our rural area that we're in. And they may take several months of the radars on and the eyes wide open on who they might select as an agent. And if they start noticing that Lee's creating this wonderful informative information, they're seeing your engagement. So they're seeing buyers asking you questions as well, and the conversation continuing. It just shows them, okay, Lee is a great source of information in my marketplace. Lee is a place where people are seeking answers. So I better use Lee myself, because he's attracting the buyers and the people that are asking questions about the marketplace. So that content marketing, mate, I think is going to be a game changer in your community. Have you noticed since you've come back, you've sort of bringing these city skills and this new knowledge to your marketplace? I'd hazard a guess to say that, these types of content marketing and this type of approach isn't being used by the country agents at the moment in your area?
100%. I've noticed that immediately when I got up here, Brennan, and I was doing my marketing for the guys in Brisbane. I noticed that immediately straight away. I'm not trying to bag anybody here, but this is even Brisbane agents. Consistency is the key. And I didn't find that information. I mean, I was looking at Facebook pages all over Australia of different agents with questions that I had. And I'm not trying to ignite myself in any way at all. But I just noticed that they have a lot of questions there. It just sounds like a niche in the market. And I've just simply slotted it into that niche. And that's where I intend to go full blast forward from now.
Yeah, mate, I think it's the right play. So, big question. I haven't even really had a chance to ask you this, but since you joined Local Property Team, but why, mate? You've worked with a variety of different brands. Obviously, you are training agents at a variety of different brands as well. So you've had exposure to all of the brands out in the marketplace here in Australia. Why did you pick Local Property Team as the brand to support you in your ambitions to build your business back in your rural town?
Initially, I was going to have it as another name. And then I needed to have some credibility, and I spoke to some of the big names there, and they didn't offer the same things that you had with your marketing and with your content. I just found there's a lot of differences there, and I found there's a modern approach from the Local Property Team as to other companies. So that was an attractive option. And from the discussions that we had, I think we're on the same page, just how we communicated. I just felt it was the right decision to make as opposed to other ones. But I did want to, you're right, I did want to initially have it as my own name, my own town's name, realestate.com.au. But I thought I had to get something with credibility. So I thought Local Property Team, it just had a good name to it with the credibility stakes. And I thought, well, all I need is to get half a dozen sales or so, and then I can be up there. So that's probably the reason why. I could just see a lot of future with the Local Property Team, the Local Property Team franchise. I could just see that. I see it as a bit of a game changer, the name. And I could just see it's a big, with that name itself within Queensland, even perhaps in Australia, if it goes that far, I can see it changing, just making a big dent in the property market, real estate market.
It's interesting you say that, mate. And I've wondered that myself. And even as a organization, we bounce around the ideas of, do we have this approach where we support agents in their marketplace under their own brands, and we're just a powered by type model. And we consciously decided not to, because we felt in our hearts and in our minds that, agents still And agents will still benefit from some leverage of scale. And, we still want to be able to personalize the brand. So Lee in his particular marketplace can personalize the brand to suit his demographic, his audience, but then also have that sort of leverage of a bit of scale behind it as well. To, as you mentioned, use the word credibility is the word that we hoped that agents like yourself would feel. And very much, it's interesting to get your feedback, mate, and that you felt that was a factor, and because most certainly that's what we were aiming for. What has the experience been like since you joined us? You've been with us a couple of months now, and you're starting to find your feet and getting connected with our team, and obviously we're all the way down here. Our head office is on the Gold Coast. You're at the Fraser Coast region, probably. What is it? 400 kilometers away?
350 or so. Yes.
350 kilometers away. Yep.
Approximately.
So there's a bit of distance there. How have you found connecting with head office to be able to get the resources that you need and the support you need? Even though it's not like you're, 3 or 4 or 5 kilometers down the road, you're 350 kilometers down the road. How have you found connecting with the head office and getting the resources that you need?
It's very easy, just a matter of sending an email, making a phone call, and I've been answered promptly, and it's been very helpful all the way. So there's been no dramas at all. With technology, it's so easy these days to do everything, and then also being on the same page is important, like we are. So that's been a tremendous help. We both want to go in the same direction. So it's been
Yeah,
it's no different if you're next door in the office, and if you're my if you're next door to me in the office at the head office, and I was sending you an email from my desk, it's no different being 350 kilometers away. I've got all the technology here. I've got the printer. I've got the Mac. I've got all the cameras. I've got everything ready to go. So I've had no dramas at all. It's just perfect. It's a good setup.
So you showed me just before we jumped on the call onto the podcast. You just received some marketing collateral that you have on your desk there that you like. Right. So what's it been like? Obviously, you know, you had the option to start your own business and you could have started from scratch, but having all this kind of marketing material already templated, drafted, it's pre-prepared, it's organized, it just arrives and you get a, you know, knock at the door and the courier's there delivering all your marketing. How have you found that in terms of convenience and speeding up the setup of your business?
Oh, it's been brilliant. And also it comes back to credibility. Once people see that name, if you're just starting off with the name, it'd be difficult to get your name out there because you would have had no sales. And with the local property team, they've already had many, many sales, and you've already got that. Your credibility is established, number one. Convenience, getting all your marketing to you is just so, it's just really appreciative of getting that. So just having that confidence, knowing that you can get that marketing material within a few days from the Brisbane area, it's just a feeling of confidence and also the credibility as well of the brand.
And have you found, this is what we'd hoped, but have you found that because all of that back end office support's done, the marketing's done, the templates are there, everything's pre-prepared, built, that really all you need to focus on is dollar productive activities. Have you found that? Is that something that, or do you feel like that you still have to build stuff, create, start from scratch? How's your feelings been there?
No, you can fairly well focus on prospecting immediately. Admittedly, there's a stage where you set up, you're getting yourself set up, getting your open home signs and everything. That's part of anything. Doesn't matter which franchise you're at, you're doing that anyway. So there's just an initial setup things that you have to do. But once you're ready to go, then it's just a matter of you can just start prospecting. And then once you get your listings, obviously building your relationships up with your vendors and your buyers and clients. So you're already, once you have everything there, you don't have to, you're not preparing a flyer, for instance. You're not preparing this, you're not preparing that. Everything's just ready to go. So it gives you plenty of time to prospect. So in that regard, it's a perfect setup.
No, it's awesome, mate. It's awesome. And I noticed with your socials is as you explained, you've got this wonderful kind of information providing socials where you're kind of like, you're just providing really useful information. It's on brand, but it still has this nice kind of social feel to it. It's not too rigid and sharp, the edges. You know, on the weekends you do a have a great weekend post and you're kind of like, hey, you might be thinking about this. Like the tone is really nice. I think that's important to consider as well. I think sometimes brands want to do that content marketing, that sort of information-based marketing and information-based awareness creating content. But it's very sharp on the edges. You seem to have this sort of lovely sort of soft tone to it. Is that something that was intentional for you, or is you know, what's your thoughts there? How did you approach that?
I think I naturally talk in a perhaps in a casual manner, and there's a lot of people in the country that have that, you know, the casual manner, that vibe, and I wanted to match that specifically into the country or into the country people. It's just a relaxed vibe, right? when they get that information, and more so I like to get more locals in my content eventually, once they feel a bit comfortable with it, and I could have somebody at their farm talk to me about something, what they had to do, or something along those lines. So that's something to have in the future. So I just want to have something different all the time, just because it's always, with real estate, it's a topic of discussion every day of the week around the kitchen table in most households in Australia. So
true.
And then you just deal with relevant content. So if something's relevant in the marketplace, no different to like a real estate journalist, if something's relevant out there, then you just capitalize on that subject and get the premise of that and roll along with that to the next post for the next day. And in the interim, if anything's happening locally, if you've got just listers, just solds, or had a record sale, you let inform people of all the good news and everything as well that's been happening in the market. So it's just a mix of all subjects that attract the buyers and sellers, just and attracts the locals in particular. So I'd like to concentrate on local events in the future as well. So I'd like to thing I found is I like to make the community a lot stronger than what it is at the moment. We used to be a lot stronger. We had a big business here when I was a younger kid. They had the sawmill. It's closed down for several years now. There's a lot of different businesses. So we really had a strong community connection where people knew each other. So I like to create something through my page and get other businesses to come on board so we can all work together to create a strong sense of community within this area. So that's one of my goals as well, to make the community to what it was. It's a good community now, to make it a better and stronger and more just a better and stronger community for everybody.
So obviously when you're starting a new business, you have doubts, anxieties, you know, there's the voice in the back of your head, are you making the right choice, when's the next dollar coming from? There's all these things rattling around in your mind when you're starting a new business, and we're trying our very best to support you to build your business, but it's really up to you to bring a good mindset. How do you approach that? How do you approach having the right mindset in your business?
I think that's from hard work from other agencies that I've had, previous principals that have instilled that into me. I was a PA. Personal assistant to the principal at Ray White, but back when I was in Brisbane back in 2008 for a whole 12 months. And there was just a lot of hard work, the mindset came from that. He was just a workaholic. It was just nonstop. I'd start work at 5 a.m. some mornings just to get my blank contracts prepared, because I knew we had a busy day. He's a gun agent, so he's just selling loads all the time. And it was just like, even if we had a bit of an off, might have been a bit of an off week, or we didn't get a listing or something, and you feel a bit down, but he just, the back of his head is like, no, it's going to happen. Just keep doing the process, it'll happen. So I guess in the back of my mind, in that respect, I don't really feel, I've honestly got zero nerves at all, because in my mindset, I know all I have to do is just do my list 1 to 10, do that list, and get everything done, then things will fall in place and things will happen. I think people that, if they worry too, I think if you're not, people that worry too much, I don't know, I just think they're not, maybe they're not organized. I don't know what it is. You either have it or you don't, possibly. But I just sort of, I guess in my mind, I just know that, I'm not trying to brag or anything. I just know that I've worked so hard in real estate. I wouldn't work anything else except for real estate. But I've worked so hard in it, that it's just, once you achieve results, you know that it's just, you know, you just got to do it all again. It's the joy of, it's like the joy of the process, I guess. I know it sounds weird, but when you do it and you achieve a result and then you're high-fiving and all the rest of it, we used to do back, I'm just by myself up here, but I'll eventually get people on. But I guess it's just that, it's that buzz that you have. And then nobody ever sees the work that you do to get there. And I get it. I understand. But it's like anything. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. So there's a lot of hard work behind the scenes that you just have to do. But it's just, I guess my advantage is I was a clerical assistant in the army, and I like to be organized at several real estate companies. So it's just bringing all those things into play there. So that's the best way to answer your question there, Brennan.
Sorry, yeah, interesting, mate. Yeah. No. I enjoyed hearing it talking, because I'm picked up on a couple of things. It's, one's being very organized and understanding the process and the steps. So rather than getting caught up on, you know, the doubting voices, you're just focusing on the 1 through to 10, you called it, steps to take, and you're very confident in knowing that they're the steps you need to do. As long as you're ticking off each of those steps, you know that the outcome will be achieved. The other thing that I picked up from that was, you've learned from observing other leaders and the businesses you worked in and so forth, that you know, if you try and mirror their approach, mirror their mindset to problems and issues and challenges, that it sort of gives you that confidence that, okay, if I just, you know, work hard, be focused and present, and I work on those individual activities that I've pre-prepared that list and been organized, then I'm going to achieve what I want to achieve. And that brings you, by the sounds of it, this kind of peace, you know, this kind of confidence. This, and as you said, you know, you don't want to brag or whatever, but I think that's just, it's just that confidence of knowing what it is that you need to achieve. So I think it's really, really interesting. And what about your time management? How do you go about managing your time? Before we started the call today, you said you had to duck out and do some whippersnipping around the property. And so, you know, we all have this work-life balance that we need to maintain. We need to kind of keep the household in order, keep the business in order. How do you approach that time management? Do you have a very structure to that? Do you have some non-negotiables? How do you approach your time management?
I'm big on presentation and the image, so that's probably why I whippersnipped the yard early this morning. And the time management, admin-wise, if you don't have your blank contracts done, or if you haven't spoken to somebody, you've done an appraisal, if you don't have a listing agreement already done, and you know it's going to go well, or write up for that one, or just a rough video, so you can actually email it to the potential vendor. If you don't have all that done, then perhaps, you know, you shouldn't be doing real estate. So it's just a matter of, whatever it is, if you're speaking to somebody, you get every little thing organized. Every question that they're going to answer, they ask you, you make sure you have that written on a piece of paper so you can answer them without hesitation. So it's a matter of being, so he who hesitates loses. So it's a matter of just being organized to such an extent that you leave no stone unturned, I guess. Like similar like a Wayne Bennett or Craig Bellamy were doing coaching in rugby league. That's what I try to apply in real estate. I'll just leave no stone unturned. And not saying I'm perfect, you can't win them all, of course, but you just, if you lose one, come to the next one. But you just, the time management, I just stay as organized as possible, because that way, if that phone rings, if I'm not organized now, if that phone rings and somebody else come out to an appraisal this afternoon, I'm thinking to myself, hang on, I've got to do something else. Then if I get up at like early this morning and if I do it all, get it all done, or if I stay at night, just getting it done for the next day. I guess it comes back to being a clerical assistant in the army. I had a corporal there, Roger Lamb, and he was, and if anything was out of place, he was a top fella, but he had a lot of passion and he could get a bit cranky sometimes. And I learned from him as well. He was great. He was the best. He just had everything in place. And I brought that into real estate the whole time. And I've worked with other agents and they've had a buyer and they've had to go and print out a contract. And I think, what the hell, geez. You know, so I've had it, I used to print mine out, then I'd email them to all the reps. So if they had a buyer, it was all ready to go. So you just get yourself organized, because you never know when that phone's going to ring for your next appraisal or a buyer that wants to look at a property. So it's just, I'm not sure. Time management is keeping yourself organized. With all your office paperwork, that's a must. It's just a no-brainer.
I've noticed that with you, mate. I've noticed that even when you were doing your listing presentation, you started preparing the contract of sale. Like, you know, I felt, oh, geez, you're jumping one step, but it's just part of that being organized approach. You know, you're not necessarily just you're thinking ahead of what you're going to need in the future, and you're getting it done now. And I think that's a big lesson for people. I think sometimes people are like, oh, I'll get to it when I need it. I'll just leave that down the road, and I'll just kind of focus here. But what you're saying is that time management, by when that time comes, you've done that work in advance. So that's kind of, you use that military and sports analogies to kind of share, you know, your view on that. I think that's really, really interesting. Fantastic advice.
And sorry for interrupting, Brennan. Another thing I was going to say, I'd have them printed out in my folder as well, like a blank listing agreement or a blank contract for that specific property, I should say. And a blank listing agreement. So if you do get that phone call, you can actually sign them up on that day. If they want to sign up on that day, you're already there to go. You've got no excuses. So that's the other. I guess it's just being organised, everybody, because somebody will probably speak to you one day and say, I want you to sell my place now. Where's the paperwork? And you may not have it. And you may miss out to the next agent. So you've got to be prepared for every situation.
No, good. Great advice, mate. Great advice. So this is the part of our interviews where it's like a 60-second quiz to get to know you. And I'm going to take you through a few questions there, just fired at you. So if you want to pass, you can't really think of an answer, just pass, mate. But we're just going to ask you about your favorite stuff just to find out what makes Lee Tick. So let's get started, mate. What's your favorite movie?
The Aviator, Leonardo DiCaprio.
The Aviator?
2004, something, approximately. I love that movie. It was brilliant.
I don't think I've seen that.
But Howard Hughes.
Yeah, who's in that?
Leonardo DiCaprio. Was it the lady that plays Catherine Hepburn, the Australian, Cate Blanchett? About Howard Hughes. And I found him pretty inspirational as well, Howard Hughes, in that movie. He's a bit of a recluse and very eccentric. And I guess in some ways I could kind of relate, except I don't have the planes. But he's just like, he just seemed like a pretty cool cat, Howard Hughes. But he had his little weird idiosyncrasies. But it was just brilliant. I thought it was just a really brilliant movie, really well done. I think Martin Scorsese may have directed that one. I'm not too sure. But I just loved it. Yeah, just really stuck in my mind.
Thanks for the tip, mate. I'm going to check that out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Favorite food?
Rib on the bone. Steak at the Breakfast Creek Hotel in Brisbane. That would be my favorite, number one.
There you go. Good tip. Yeah. Favorite holiday destination?
Vegas. Sarah, a couple of years ago, I went to Area 51, saw Jeff Horn in the fighting. Or Malillabar or Broad Beach or Harvey Bay as well. So any of the beach towns, cities, whatever they're called now. But just have a mix, I guess, a few different ones.
Awesome. Typical day. What does a typical day look like for you?
I'm pretty early riser, I guess, between about six o'clock ish, and then I don't do it every day, but I try to get a bicycle ride in for half an hour or so, or an hour sometimes. And if I'm not doing that, I've got to do some yard work. I've got an acre and a half to look after. So I'll try and do some yard work. I'll do that. Then Sundays I might have a rest day. And then I normally just have like about a litre of water called Japanese water therapy. And I'll sit out in the sunroom, just chill out about half an hour, just take everything in for the day, just sort of give a bit of appreciation and gratitude for another day on this earth, you know. So and just think about what's happening in the world, the family, with the work and everything, and get myself ready to rock and roll the day after that.
Amazing. If you could have dinner with an inspirational person, dead or alive, who would it be?
Kerry Packer Jr., that passed away in 2005.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. Yeah,
mate.
I would have loved to work for him, be under him, because he would have been, if you did a good job, he would let you know, I guess, but if you didn't, he would let you know at the same time. So he would have been, that would have been one of the best trainers in the world.
I'd imagine that too.
I would have loved it, man. It would have been great. Yeah, but it's just everything he'd done, like his marketing, what he did for the cricket back in the day. And he was always, he was always in the discussion, you know. There's people always talking about him, but what he did, fair enough, he had it handed to him, but he actually created more wealth as well. So he actually became, you know, successful, even though he did get it, of course, but he worked hard to achieve even more than what he was given. So respect for that as well too, you know. Yeah, and what he done for Australia, like what he contributed to us, I think contribution to your local town, to your state, to your country is massive in my book. And what he done there was just absolutely huge.
Biggest regret?
Maybe not getting into real estate earlier, I guess. But then again, there's that's probably one regret. But I guess to get here where I am now, if I wasn't in those past situations, then I wouldn't be where I am now. So it's a tough one. I guess I've life's been a bit of a roller coaster, I guess, you know, hasn't always been smooth sailing, but it just makes you gives you more character for different events that you go through in life. But if I could have gotten real estate a couple of years earlier, perhaps that may be one. But then again, if I wouldn't have done all those other things, I wouldn't have been where I am today. So that's a tough question. Yeah.
Most thankful for?
Probably my upbringing, my mum and dad, and also the community in the small town I grew up in Berwina. It was great. I miss it.
If you were prime minister for one day, what's one thing you would change?
That's only one thing.
What's a big lever? If you're appointed prime minister for a day and you could change anything you want, what would be the one thing you'd make a shift on?
Maybe education, getting it all subsidised, education. So young kids and families weren't paying 150 or 200 grand for a university degree. And secondly, maybe putting money into community grants. I'd be trying to make a stronger community. Maybe I'll cancel that one. I'd actually have it as a, I was just thinking about this the other day, have it get grants, rather than putting grants there for, even though I love my rugby league, rather than putting grants there for football stadiums, et cetera, taking that money out and putting that money back into local areas in employing people, and they could be local leaders in local sport, getting juniors to play local sport, and then just giving that a grant so all the kids don't have to pay a cent or anything to do that, and community gardens, getting them established, having people in the community doing that. So just trying to build a strong sense of community and family all over Australia. And that'd be a big thing to do, but that'd be something I'd try to take money out of other budgets, out of where they could still play football on the football ground. So yeah, that's what I'll try and do.
Try and push the money deeper into the smaller communities to make sure that they have the resources they need.
And then we could have then the younger kids could have a more positive output for the younger children and families as well. So they could see something bright for their future, I guess, from that.
Mate, that's great. That's fantastic. That's really lovely. I think people out there would not disagree with you in that, in rechanneling some money to rural areas. I think Bob Catter is one politician that comes to mind that is screaming that same kind of mantra, and he has wonderful support, and I'm sure you'd have wonderful support if you were to implement some changes like that. So to sign us off, mate, what is the best way for our audience to get in contact with you if somebody wants to reach out and continue the conversation?
They can go to the Facebook page that I've got. It's the local property team, Fraser Coast. That's on Facebook. There's just a lot of information in there. I've got my own page, Local Property Team, Lee Harper. I've got that as a backup for SEO. If somebody searches my name, they'll find it. So they go onto that page, or the phone number is 0414-961-068. But wherever they're watching this, we'll leave that in the write-up down the bottom there. So probably on the phone would be the best. I'm always on the phone. So they can just give me a call, happy to chat. So I think everything, at the end of the day, I do all these things for marketing, but at the end of the day, there's no better. Number one is face-to-face, obviously, but number two, getting on the phone, just having a chat with somebody is probably one of the best things they can do. So the phone would be great, and we can work out from there if we want to meet face-to-face and get their property sold.
Amazing, mate. Well, it's been wonderful talking with you. Thank you so much for making the time to share your advice and tips with the Luxury Home Insider, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks very much, Brandon. Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye.